Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, couple of jab steps, comes up shooting, top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
Levine with a runway!
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that.
And I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period.
Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. Welcome back, Matt. Another game to talk about. The second night of a back-to-back on the Bulls four-game West Coast road trip. A game against the Kings. Not the outcome I think Bulls fans were looking for, but before we get into all of that today, how you doing, man?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Yeah, would have been cool to see the Bulls start the four-game West Coast trip 2-0. A winnable game, especially once you saw De'Aaron Fox leave the game after just, I think, like 5 or 6 minutes for the Kings. And of course, you never, you know, want to see any player leave the floor with an injury, whether, you know, even if it's your opponent. But an impactful player like Fox leaving the game certainly made that a wide open, winnable night for the Bulls. And they just fell a little bit short. You know, kudos to them. They fell into another hole, not quite as big as their deficit against the Blazers. But they did, I think, trail at one point by 12 in the first half. And they were to stay in the game. And I think even a couple of times in the fourth quarter, take a slim lead. You know, just didn't quite have those final possessions that they needed. You know, credit to, you know, Buddy Hield for hitting a big shot. Credit to the rookie Tyrese Halliburton, who we should definitely talk about today, for hitting that crazy desperation three in the corner with the shot clock expiring with a, you know, a contest in his face. And the Bulls just came up a little bit short. And it's the second night of a back-to-back. You know, it was the fifth game in seven nights. The Bulls, I think, just ran out of steam a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And that's the thing that I think disappointed me the most. And then we'll get into the positives. Is just the fact that De'Aaron Fox left this game after 5 minutes. Dude, he's been on fire this year, and he's been a hell of a lot of fun to watch. But it was an opportunity for the Bulls to pounce on them missing their best player. And, you know, good for Marvin Bagley, man. I mean, he was a beast. He was 21 points, 12 boards, 2 in this game. And then, dude, I think I've been saying it now. I think that Patrick Williams is an underrated shot for making a run at Rookie of the Year. But I think the guy that's going to be in front of him is going to be the guy we saw last night. And that was Halliburton, man. 7 for 15. He was 3 for 7 from 3. He had the dagger, too. I mean, good on the Kings, man. They ran that play and caught Levine and Kobe, the two worst defenders on the floor, in the corner defending either Harrison Barnes or Halliburton. They ran a little bit of a pick there. Kobe got caught in no man's land, and then it was too late. But even Halliburton's shot was weird. It was like a one-handed three-pointer that he shot, and that was the dagger.
It was a very high level of difficulty shot. You know, he was kind of falling out of bounds towards the baseline as he released it. But, you know, shot clock was winding down. He had to get a shot off, and the fact that he made it, kudos to him. That's a tough shot for anybody to make, let alone a rookie at that, you know, at that point in that close of a game. Halliburton was always on my radar when I was, you know, scouting the 2020 draft class and thinking who might help this Bulls team. you know, we cracked a couple of jokes here on this podcast about the whole Iowa State thing and how crazy it would be when we finally oust Gar Forman. The first guy we take is an Iowa State guy. But, you know, jokes aside, he looked like a quality prospect for a combo guard at the NBA level. A guy with good size and length, a guy with good defensive instincts and abilities, versatility on the defensive end, and a guy who can handle the ball a fair amount and also be a catch-and-shoot guy playing off the ball on offense. So a lot of things that I liked about him, and I think the Kings certainly got a steal getting him where they did in the draft order, and I'm excited to watch what he does as a rookie. I agree with you, man. I think, you know, Bulls fans should be excited about Pat Will, and I think Pat will get more rookie of the year votes than maybe some people anticipated when people were calling him a reach at the fourth overall pick. But right now, if I had to put my money on anybody, it would be Tyrese Haliburton.
He proved it last night, too. He got the perfect opportunity to step in for De'Aaron Fox, and he did them justice, man. The other thing that helped contribute to this win was the fact that, I mean, the two starting in the front court combined to shoot for 72%. They combined for 45 points and had 20 rebounds, had half the Kings' rebounds. So I think the Bulls' inability to stop either Bagley or Holmes yesterday was a little difficult. That's not a knock on Carter either, because I thought Wendell Carter had a pretty decent game yesterday with 17 damn rebounds and 11 points. But yeah, it wasn't enough, because I mean, their front court shot 72% and it ultimately helped them to a win.
Yeah. And, you know, credit to Rashawn Holmes. I actually met him All-Star weekend last year while we were doing some outsider stuff downtown. Couldn't be a nicer guy, Chicago native. Good for him. You know, he's playing in a contract year right now, second year of a 2-year deal. He's trying to earn his way onto either, you know, a new contract with the Kings or elsewhere to keep his NBA career going. And I mean, 10 of 11 from the field, 4 of 6 at the free throw line, 8 boards and 5 assists as well for Rashawn Holmes, 24 points. Huge night for him. Happy for him. But yeah, man, I agree. I think we got to talk about Wendell a little bit, you know, because we both liked what we saw from him in Portland game, especially after getting into the early foul trouble. And kind of like LaVine followed up his, you know, scoring outburst in the Dallas game with an assist heavy first half against Portland. You had Wendell after that quality game against Portland, but maybe where there was something lacking, it was his work on the boards. He only had 3 rebounds in the win against the Blazers, 17 boards in this game against Sacramento. Credit to him for that. I mean, truly, I've always thought that Wendell needs to be a stronger rebounder. People talk about Lowry also needing to be a stronger rebounder, but you need more of that from your center. Absolutely. So Wendell responded well with his work on the glass. And some of the nitpicking that's been going on with Wendell's defense in this sort of like camouflage, not quite drop system defense that we're seeing. I mean, even like Stacey King was talking about it in the broadcast last night against the Kings and saying, you know, Wendell needs to step up a little bit more. He needs to step up a little bit more. And Donovan, to his credit, after the game, put the onus more on the Bulls' backcourt, saying they need to be the ones to make our opponents bringing the ball up, less comfortable. They're getting across and getting into their set and getting into their, you know, their high screen situations too easily. Our guards need to do a better job. It's not about Wendell needing to step forward more and putting that pressure on him, because it's not necessarily, it's more of like a show and it's more of a collective help system as far as what I can read watching these games so far. So I thought Wendell maybe got a little bit too much unnecessary blame for some of the defensive issues the Bulls were having last night.
No doubt, and I want to get into that in a minute. And also to Rashawn Holmes, shout out to the Moraine Valley Community College great up there in Palos Hills. And he also went to Bowling Green too for 3 years, Lockport Township High School. So shout out to him. Yes, definitely a local here. We talked about him maybe even signing here before he did with the Kings a couple of years ago. I want to get into some of that Wendell stuff too, because I think there is a couple of points I want to make on that, on his defensive adjustments and how the Bulls are just going to have to adjust on defense all year. He's included in that. But first, I want to tell our friends about betonline.ag. Been telling you guys about them for the last couple of weeks, and this is the perfect time to sign up for an account right now. NFL playoffs are happening this weekend. It's opening weekend wild card matchups, including the Bears playing on Sunday. So if you want to bet on the Bears or your favorite NFL team in the playoffs, the perfect place to do that is betonline.ag. You can use the promo code LOCKEDON for 50% welcome bonus. So if you deposit $250, they're going to give you $125 for free. So don't sit on the sidelines. Get in the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Locked On for 50% welcome bonus. Go to betonline.ag today. So Matt, yeah, I did have a point on that too. The drop coverage that had been going on. If you're arguing in the same fashion that Stacey King is, I agree with him because I think that killed the Bulls last night. That allowed for one of two big shots by the Kings down the stretch in the last 30 seconds was because all game long, and even the last couple of games, they had been talking about that. Those open three-pointers that are being uncontested and just drained left and right, a lot of that is coming from either the confusion or the step back a little bit by Wendell. But, I mean, Wendell's he's got a 7'5 wingspan, man. All it would take is like a half step forward and for him to stick his hand in their face to just at least cause a little bit of discomfort. So I think it's a little bit on both sides, but that same thing Stacey King was talking about killed them in the last 30 seconds, not to mention too, the Kings took advantage of our two worst defenders on the floor in the corner at the end. But I think that's just something Wendell is going to have to learn how to adjust to. And or it's Billy Donovan putting more of the emphasis on his point guard and his shooting guard to make them more uncomfortable. I would say maybe a little bit of a give and take from both sides, no?
Yeah, I think so. I think the entirety of this defense will take some adjustment period. And I think we knew that this team was going to be defensively challenged this season. And the numbers certainly back that up. But you can be a team that displays, you know, evidence of growth. I think we're seeing positive signs for some of these young pieces on the offensive end already, with what we've seen from Wendell, who, by the way, in addition to his strong rebounding night, should have had four or five more assists than he did.
Oh, 100%.
Because he was making some incredible passes to open three-point shooters in this loss to Sacramento. And, you know, he finished with four assists, but he easily could have had eight or nine had his teammates knocked down open shots. Wendell's passing at that, you know, high post spot has been really on point so far this season. Yeah, going back to the defensive thing, we knew it was going to be an issue. But with better offensive play, you can win games regularly at the NBA level if you have the offensive talent and then just the ability to make a couple of stops when you need them. Like when the Bulls made a couple of stops or one key stop to stave off Dallas in that victory, a big necessary stop here and there in the fourth quarter or in their run, allowing them to get back in the game against the Blazers. That's it. You don't have to be a defensively elite team to be a competitive team in the NBA. Good offense beats good defense every single time. And so the Bulls are working on all of that, and they're working on all of that in new systems and new offensive sets and new defensive sets. You know, it's going to take some time.
On the point of Carter and him being a little bit more involved on the offensive end, I'm wondering if AK said, hey, slip him some Jokic film real fast and watch how he operates in the offense. Because, dude, I feel like I've seen that same play where he comes up at the top and he's kind of controlling the offense and he's got a guard that comes around. He just like basically hands it off to him and the guard takes a 20-foot jump shot. I've watched Murray and Jokic do that a million times. Bam has started to develop to be able to do that and more incorporated in the Heat's offense. So I started laughing because I'm like, I wonder if AK just like slipped some Jokic film to Donovan and said, hey, just give this to Wendell and have this him read it over his holiday break and watch it for the next several hours, because they're starting to incorporate that a little bit more. And even to Donovan's credit, he's using Carter in the same fashion he would use Steven Adams, where he would run a lot of that fluid offense where Wendell is right in the middle of the play, and it worked, and it's continuing to work. So credit to Wendell, too, for developing that a little bit more. And I think he's developed a little bit more confidence, too, man.
I think so. And I mean, like the Steven Adams thing should give Bulls fans confidence that these improvements can grow even further with Wendell on the offensive end. You know, talking about some of the quality passing he was doing in this game against the Kings the other night, and it didn't necessarily cash in with the highest tally, although it probably should have. But Steven Adams was never really known in his early NBA seasons as a quality passing big, pretty much just a screen roll guy. But you saw a significant uptick in his assist numbers and his assist percentage in that year with Billy Donovan, where you know, they were like, okay, well, this roster's different. Let's try and find some things that work. Wendell can be that guy. That was one of the things that people liked about him, that scouts liked about him coming into his draft year, was his passing ability in his one collegiate season at Duke and being a gifted passer for a big, and an undersized big, but a big. And we just like, we saw glimpses of that in his first 2 years, but not really anything consistent. So if Billy Donovan could take Steven Adams and turn him into a legitimate Jokic-esque threat, you know, not on the same level, but a Jokic-esque threat. Bulls fans remember the fourth in MVP voting Joakim, who basically ran the team's offense as a high post point center. Wendell can build out those elements of his offensive game and make him so much more versatile and a problem for opposing defenses, as opposed to a guy who's afraid to shoot the ball. You hope that Wendell grows more confidence in his game, you know, working inside out. Like we could talk about the 3-point shot another day, but if he can add this element to his game, please, 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 it would make this offense and this starting unit's offense so much more lethal.
Yeah, I'm not even concerned about the 3-point shot anymore. I just want him to focus on getting his buckets, being aggressive on the boards like he was last night. And look, too, he's going up against Bagley and Rashawn Holmes. It's not Rudy Gobert or Steven Adams or anybody else that's a top big in this league. So I think he should take advantage of those matchups, and he did last night, and he proved it. So good on him. And yeah, I think it's only up for Wendell. Just got to keep that confidence up, Matt. Confidence is everything for him. I think we need to talk quickly before we get to some of the matchups this weekend. We need to talk quickly about our boy Denzel Valentine, because he's had a couple of really, really good games, man. Last night he had 10 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals, no turnovers, 4 for 10 from the field. I mean, we joked about him making that stupid pass down 28 against the Bucks, but he's been an important part of being fluid for that second unit coming in certain spots, and maybe more credit to Donovan to putting in the best spots to expand on his strengths.
Yeah, it's all about finding that right balance with Denzel, isn't it? Because, you know, we make fun of him for his defensive lapses, and he's certainly not the only, you know, person on this Bulls roster who has their defensive lapse moments. But he made some nice plays on the defensive end last night against Sacramento. And in addition to that, if he can have a little stretch like he did in his first in the first half, where he scored like 5 or 7 straight for the Bulls, you know, that falling away jumper on the right baseline, I was like, dude, holy crap. Stacy and Amin were even kind of joking about his old man game, but he found a little stretch to put his impact on the game without going overboard. That's always been my issue with Denzel. And he did have himself a heat check in that game, because it wouldn't be a Denzel night without him giving himself a heat check. But nothing ridiculous, nothing over the top. Not like, oh, I think I'm the best player out here, but while I'm sitting on the bench, I'm going to get ejected for getting 2 technicals, for talking trash to the league worst Golden State Warriors. That kind of shit from last season is what has always made me see Denzel as a joke more than an actual player and an actual threat. If he can tone that shit down, if he can tone down crazy eyes Denzel and still keep some of that fire and some of that confidence that makes him who he is, but just use it within the system, within and around his teammates, then the positive stuff actually comes through. For example, that like court length bounce pass he fed and threaded the needle to a breaking out Pat Williams in transition.
That was awesome, man.
If LaMelo Ball had made that pass, it would have been all over NBA Twitter 100%. Highlights. People would have been gushing over that pass if LaMelo Ball made it. But it was Denzel. And it was him exhibiting one of his greater strengths on a basketball court, his vision and his passing ability.
Definitely, man. Pure case. I think Jokic had one of those passes similar the other night, and it was all over Twitter. It was in SportsCenter's top 10. Right. So if it was a star player making that pass, but yeah, good on him too. And he's starting to combine the fact that he doesn't just have to be one guy. He doesn't have to be the guy that's going to come out and shoot 8 shots and not do anything else. He's rebounding the ball consistently, and like you said, he's been a better passer too. Even on nights where he's not scoring the ball well, he only took 3 shots against Portland, but was an important part, and he had 8 rebounds and 2 assists and a steal, so he was an important part in the 19 minutes he played. Again, guys finding their roles, similar to Gafford, Valentine can find his role on this team. It doesn't necessarily need to be a starter or play 35 minutes a night to have an impact, so good on him too for the last few games.
And the question then becomes, when the Bulls theoretically get Hutch back after his quarantine for testing positive for COVID-19, what happens to the Denzel minutes?
That's a good question, man. And maybe it would just be night to night, right? That's sort of what Billy Donovan's been doing, is going by matchups each night and kind of using guys in different situations. Yeah, because especially if you're going to still use Garrett Temple in stretches, right? That's got to eliminate Valentine's minutes or Hutch's minutes.
Right. And we saw right out of the gate this season that when Denzel was given that opportunity to take Hutch's minutes, he got a quick hook from Donovan, and Donovan cited his defense, and then he went back to Hutch, who did have himself a couple of strong games before that exit. So we'll be very curious to see how that rotation shakes out when we get some of these pieces back.
So finally, to kind of wrap up the week, let's talk a little bit about the matchups this weekend. Let me just start by asking you, which one are you most concerned with? Is it the Lakers matchup on Friday, or is it the Clippers matchup on Sunday?
Yes. I mean, I'm concerned about both of them. It's a 6-2 Lakers team and a 6-3 Clippers team, both of which have 2 future Hall of Famers on their rosters. This is not easy stuff. If there is one game that I care more about, and I kind of talked about this a little bit on Outkast on Hot Mic last night with my boys John and Dave, I would love it. You know, a win I would be elated. I would be over the moon. But if there's one game where I want the Bulls to put up a better fight, it's the Lakers game. And 2-part reason for that: I still am a LeBron-hating Bulls fan. I don't care that he's moved to the Western Conference and he's not in our division anymore, you know, and he can't hurt us as badly when he's this far away. I still hate him, and I will always hate him for the years and years that he knocked us out of the playoffs, for the years and years that he taunted and danced on our graves, for all of that stuff. Respect the hell out of him and everything he's doing off the court. Respect the hell out of that, too. Still hate him as a sports fan. Still hate him. And that loss to the Lakers last year is one of the most furious moments of my life as a Bulls fan. We had an opportunity to beat the LeBron AD Lakers, and a defining early season win for us. Could have turned that season around, but Jim Doofus wanted to prove a fucking point, and we lost a game we should have won. And it still irks me a year later.
It's a learning moment, and we'll learn from it.
Did you have a point after that? Go ahead.
No, my point is, I want to beat the Lakers.
I'm with you, man. And you know what? We might catch them at the right time because they play tonight, Thursday. Yeah, they play Thursday night. So this will be their third game on Friday, third game in 4 days. So I would assume LeBron and Anthony Davis on limited minutes, considering I know the Bulls have been good this past stretch, this past week, but I would imagine it's pretty much a layup for the Lakers to use a load management night for LeBron and AD. So we might catch them in a good scenario where it could be a little bit more competitive, but yeah, I don't know how they're going to stop either one of the dudes. Look, LeBron's just lighting it up again this year, man. And Anthony Davis is going to prove a point to wanting to beat the Bulls. So I don't know. Hopefully we catch a break with either one of those guys, either just sitting out for load management or whatever.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, after they took an L to Dame and the Blazers on December 28th, they have won their last four. They beat the Spurs twice, and they beat the Grizzlies twice. That was, and those were all four of those were on the road doing those, you know, little mini series, two game sets.
Two junk teams, though.
So, yeah. I mean, like nothing super impressive about beating the Spurs twice and the Grizzlies twice. But I mean, it doesn't matter who you are. Road wins in the NBA are not easy. Obviously, this year is a little bit different, and some of these early returns on, you know, home team record versus away team record without the true full effect of home court advantage with these empty stadiums, we're seeing home teams have a significantly lesser advantage, and the early returns on win loss reflect that. We'll see if that maintains true across the entire season, but even still. Just and like the added stress of road trips this year and not being in the bubble, but actually traveling around and just the mental fatigue that comes along with traveling and worrying about COVID right now. I mean, it's got to have a mental toll of some element on these players.
The strange thing is, man, the Bulls have played way better on the road this year, way better on the road than they have played at home. I think they had the game-winning shot at home. They had the Warriors game-winning shot at home, and then they had the two blowouts at home. Am I mistaken, or was the one blowout two at the Bucks?
That was at Milwaukee.
That was at Milwaukee.
Right.
But still, they haven't looked great at home, I feel like.
No, they're 1-4 at home. Wait, no, 1-3 at home. And they've, one of their four wins came at home. It just the Dallas game. The only game that they've won at home is the Dallas game.
So I don't know. Maybe this is a good thing for the Bulls to be on this mini road trip here. And it's an opportunity to get back to 500. Yeah, they're 3-2 on road games. So that makes them 1-3 at home. So that sucks. Hopefully, I don't know. We haven't heard, but hopefully a combination once we get into next week, the Bulls are fully healthy, marking that everybody passes tests, clears out, and are okay. I think the big question is now, if this Bulls team pulls off or at least stays competitive in both of these games, man, there's going to be conversation about this team looking better without Lauri Markkanen than it did with him. How much you want to bet we're going to get those texts and takes come Monday morning?
I mean, I'd say let's wait and see what happens against these two very good teams. But
I mean, if we're already having Gafford versus Carter conversations, I'm sure it's going to be brought up.
But I also have seen plenty of Bulls fans on Twitter who are saying we have shown more fight and more resiliency, and Donovan seems to be figuring some things out to keep us competitive in these games since Lowry has gone out. And Lowry was playing well before he went out. You know, whether it was the calf, the re-aggravated calf, and then COVID protocol, we were seeing an aggressive Lowry. We were seeing an efficient Lowry. He was knocking down his threes. He was getting into the paint. He was getting to the free throw line. He was the, you know, the rookie in the second year Lowry that we were all falling in love with, not the crappy third year Lowry. So I think it will only help things when we get that player back into the starting lineup and back into the rotation.
100%, man. I mean, it's ridiculous. Lowry shooting 47.8% from three on damn near six attempts a game. He's averaging 17
and
a half.
Any Bulls fan who says that they don't want that player back is just dumb.
I mean, it's crazy. Him and Otto have been great from three, both attempting about 5 to 6 attempts a game. Lowry 47.8 and Otto at 41.7%. So, and hey, Denzel Valentine's been shooting good too. Four attempts a game, 45.5%. It's about stopping the, I think the Bulls' problem is stopping the other team from shooting threes, not necessarily making their own threes. But I'm excited, yeah, man. At least this is going to give the Bulls two tests on the road in 3 days. And it's, again, it's all about these litmus tests all the way through the entire season. I want to make sure that at this point, when we're going up against the Lakers and the Clippers, 4 months from now, if we go up against, say, the Nets or the Bucks, we can look back and compare these games and how did they test against some of the top talent in the NBA.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously the Lakers are a big test. The Clippers will be too. Paul George averaging nearly 25 points a game, shooting 49% from the field. He's getting the free throw line. He's doing all the things Paul George does. And after some weird losses, that Clippers team is figuring some things out. But they took an L to the Kings that just beat us a couple of days ago. Who did they lose to? Oh, the Spurs. That's right. They lost to the Spurs the other day.
It was an ugly game too.
Yeah, it was. We will see what happens. But Jordan, the other interesting thing about that Clippers game Sunday, did you notice that it is a 3 p.m. Central Time matinee tip-off? Do you know what else is going to be happening Sunday afternoon in Chicago at 3:30 p.m.?
Why would they do that?
A pointless Bears wildcard game where they are going to get mopped by the Saints in New Orleans. So we've got a simultaneous Bulls on the road against the Clippers and Bears on the road in the super duper wild card game against Drew Brees and the Saints. Simultaneous.
Man, this is a stretch from a decade ago where I think there was a time where the Bulls were lining up the same time either the Bears or another team in town lined up. Wasn't there like a certain Sunday? I can't remember or recall exactly what it was.
It was 2 years ago when the Bulls had a matinee during the Bears-Eagles game, the Bears-Eagles playoff game.
You're right.
I remember being so pissed off. And John and Dave and I were sitting, you know, watching Bulls. I don't even remember who they were playing. Clearly, it wasn't important because we all had our phones out or tablets out and we're watching the Bears-Eagles game. And we hurried through an episode of Outsiders and ran to the nearest bar in River North to watch the end of it, only to watch that end being a double doink and a loss and just broken, shattered heart. And the good news is this time I won't care. Because I've seen Bears fans or Bears reporters saying it doesn't mean you can't enjoy being a playoff team and root for the Bears to win in this wild card game while still also wanting to see organizational change. You know me. You know how I operate as a sports fan. I say, fuck that. I want the Bears to lose this game. I want Ted Phillips gone. I want people fired. And so I don't care that we're like, if you ask me, would I rather see a Bulls victory over the Clippers or a Bears win upsetting the Saints in their wild card game? I would rather see a Bulls win, honestly. Fuck the Bears being a quote unquote playoff team.
Well, I don't really have a rooting interest either way, man. I feel like the Bears have been bad my entire life outside the Super Bowl, and it's been really cool to run the shows, the pregame shows all season long and just kind of hear some stories from Olin Krutz, but the Bears have been bad my entire life. That's why I love the Bulls. That's why I love the White Sox. At least there's been some hope with both of those, and the Sox won in 05 too, but it's been a real kick in the nuts the last decade or so, being a fan on both sides of those. So I don't know. Optimistically, let's hope that there's at least, from our perspective, there's a Bulls win on Sunday. We could be surprised. And hell, man, I'll take a win against the Lakers too. Like you said, I think the more important win out of those two for me is just beating the Lakers. It's fun to beat LeBron. It's fun to beat AD too. Show him what he's missing by not joining the Bulls.
Still on that island, huh?
I told you I'm going to be there in 2026 when AD is like 37. So he'll be here at some point, but it's not going to be anytime soon.
Yeah, he'll be a Bull when he's 45, just like Dwayne Wade was.
But I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thanks for listening to us all week long. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. We're on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful weekend. Be back on Monday with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.
Thanks a lot.